You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What an unbelievably huge tune, that Steamfish by Stinky Jim and Nizamba. And we've got Jim on the line. Kia ora, how are you this morning?
Oh, kia ora, Rachel. I'm very good, thanks. And yourself?
Good. It's lovely to chat with you. Congratulations on Spatial Awareness, your brilliant new album. How are you feeling having it in the world?
Oh, well, it's always a bit of a relief, really, more than anything, I think, at this stage of the game. But no, I'm very happy. I'm very chuffed with the album and feel I've done some different things. And it's been very well received, which is always pleasant. So, yeah, no complaints from this corner yet.
Well, that is very good to hear. No complaints from us either. It's always awesome to have your music to listen to. And that first track that we just heard there, Steam Fish, that's a pretty incredible song. With Nzamba, who has very sadly passed away, and I say passed away just in time to maybe have not heard it. Tell us a wee bit about the collaboration with your friend here.
Well, Nzamba is probably, you know, for many years, I mean, I've been making music for a long time, and even back in the Intern Hi-Fi days, we had options or offers to do stuff with Jamaican artists, but it's always this thing of wanting to work with someone who you really feel in sync with and that you can really trust as well, especially if you're not going to be able to be there in the studio with them. And Nzamba, you know, and literally is the first guy in a couple of 20 years or something like that, that I felt like I'd really like to do something with this guy, and I really trust this guy. I trust his lyrical direction, and I trust everything about him. And so I, you know, prevaricated about that for a long while, as one does. And then I thought about other friends. The bizarre thing with him passing was I actually thought about other friends that I was going to do work with who have passed away, and thought, you can't let life pass you by. You've actually got to make these things happen, because if it doesn't happen, it never happens.
Yeah.
Which, you know, on reflection was far too real. So I bailed him up. I actually first tried to get in contact with him through people I know who'd worked with him, and they were very cagey about giving me his number. And I think everyone who was working with him was kind of like, no, he's mine. Hang on. And I won't name the artist, but there's one artist who I've been friends with for a long time, and he just wouldn't give it up. So I went to Dubhead, who was friends with him on Facebook, and said, Dub, can you grab Nzamba's number for me, or email or whatever, and got in contact with him. And at first it was too expensive, and he insisted on a vinyl release, which I said, well, I can't really guarantee that and what have you. And we had a good chat, and he actually ended up sort of saying he'd do it because, A, he really liked the rhythm, but he really wanted to do something for New Zealand that appealed to him. And originally we actually spoke about doing a song about decolonization, because that's something that Jamaica and New Zealand have in common. Which then he turned around to me when he came back with the demo and said, Jim, I've done something different in this lovely gruff baritone laced with Jamaican patois slang. It's just beautiful.
But
I could record the phone call personally. And he said, I've done something quite different then. And basically he wrote this, you know, really lovely song, Bigging Up Women, which I'm 100% for. So it was a beautiful thing. And that was, I think, last December. He recorded it at Tuff Gong Studio in Kingston and sent it to me. And it actually was pretty much most of this year. I've been sending it between here and Dunedin, getting it exactly how I wanted it. And very sadly, the day that I sent him the final master was the day he passed away on July the 1st. So I never actually got to find out whether he heard the song or not. He loved the demo. So,
well, that's good.
So I knew. But yeah, it's just a terrible loss. And he died of a heart attack. It was a couple, 2 or 3 hours there when I'd heard he wasn't around anymore, where I thought, oh no, it's not going to be gun violence again, because I've had that happen with quite a few people I've met in Jamaica, where they just turned up dead from random gun violence. So in a way, I feel a slight blessing that it was a health matter rather than a violence matter. But I feel we've lost a really, really important voice and a guy from Jamaica that was doing something that no one else was doing.
So yeah.
It's incredibly sad. At the same time, I feel very lucky, because if I hadn't have done that, this song would never have happened.
Yeah.
It's never been written.
Yeah, totally.
So it puts things in perspective.
It absolutely does. And it is an incredible track. And I think it's a really great anchor for this album as well, because it sort of anchors maybe some of your influences, your sonic influences from across the globe in this New Zealand context as well, which is something that seems to be quite a big theme throughout the record. We've got lots of different sort of moments that seem to have inspired tracks. We're going to have a listen to Cry for the You, which is currently on the playlist. And this is one that I think you've been working on for quite some time. And I'm talking years here. With this whole album, where were the start points for you? Did it all kind of come together in a cohesive way, or were you drawing on loose ends that you wanted to sort of put into one package?
It's right. There you go. Once again, we're back to the how long is a piece of string?
Yeah, yeah.
it's a very tricky one. I mean, realistically, I write songs. You know, I work on music every single day, and so I have hundreds of tunes.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, and the ugly, and the indifferent. And some of them, like Cry for the Ute and On the Ag, are very much influenced by things that are going on, like Ute Tax, mm-hmm. and Nutters in Wellington, and anti-science people, things that I feel very strongly about.
Mm-hmm.
So those ones were of the moment, as it were. But say, for example, with the Trapping in the Zamba, that rhythm has actually been around for probably 10 years, best part of 10 years since I wrote that. I've done a version of that with Asterix, and what have you. We've improved it greatly in that time. So it becomes a grab bag of all these things until suddenly this, out of the fog, this sort of thing emerges, and you go, oh, hang on, there's a dozen tracks here that can work together in a cohesive way and make sense to me, maybe not to anyone else. and lo and behold, you end up with Spatial Awareness.
It's a great name as well, I have to say. It kind of does, I think, coming through the fog, it's called Spatial Awareness. There's something about this that I think sits really nicely in the moment we're all kind of going through at the moment. What was the impetus to put it out? We've talked about this before, but to just put it out on Bandcamp, because I think this is another interesting ongoing conversation in music releasing at the moment.
Yeah, well, it's a funny one. I mean, it's not my choice to only put it out on Bandcamp. It's just that Bandcamp seems to be the only, and the old inverted commas here, only more ethical choice of places to have your music available. I'm not streaming personally. There is a couple of ethical streaming companies, but they're very small,
mm-hmm.
and yet to go there, I can't put my music on Spotify and Apple. It just, I put too much love into it and time into it to have it treated that way, and so it's not so much a big plus Bandcamp thing as a it's the only place. That really saddens me, to be honest with you. It's out of necessity. But I can't do it. I can't put my music on Spotify. I know that it, financially that makes sense, but I also don't think it's a bad thing in 2022 for things to be, if you want this is, you need to do this, rather than just everything's available everywhere and then nothing's appreciated. And that's all, you know, I just want the people who might enjoy these tunes to hear them and to enjoy them. And if that means, you know, cutting out a whole load of the other avenues that may be financial, but as I say, very unethical, then so be it.
Well, thank you for putting it out so that we can hear it, because we're big fans always, Jim.
Bless you.
We are going to listen to Cry for the Ute now. And if people do want to get this excellent album, Spatial Awareness, in their life, what is the Bandcamp link?
StinkyJim.com. StinkyJim.bandcamp.com. It's a mere $15 for 12 tunes.
Excellent.
And I'll love you long time.
Hey, thanks for chatting with us this morning, Jim. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks so much, Rachel.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.